He who makes a beast of himself gets rid of the pain of being a man.
We were somewhere around Barstow on the edge of the desert when the drugs began to take hold. I remember saying something like,
I feel a bit lightheaded. Maybe you should drive.
And suddenly, there was a terrible roar all around us, and the sky was full of what looked like huge bats,
all swooping and screeching and diving around the car,
which was going about 100 miles an hour,
with the top down to Las Vegas.
Holy Jesus! What are these goddamn animals?
My attorney had taken off his shirt and was pouring beer on his chest to facilitate the tanning process.
What the hell are you yelling about? Never mind, it's your turn to drive. No point in mentioning those bats. The poor bastard will see them soon enough.
Very soon we would both be completely twisted. But there was no going back. We would have to ride it out. Press registration for the fabulous Mint 400 was already underway, and we had to get there by 4 to claim our soundproof suite. Our journey began in the Polo Lounge at the Beverly Hills Hotel, in the patio section, of course. And we were just sitting there under a palm tree when this uniformed dwarf came to me with a pink telephone and said,
This must be the call you've been waiting for all this time, sir.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Okay. That was headquarters. They want me to go to Las Vegas at once and make contact with a Portuguese photographer named Lacerda. He'll have the details.
God, hell, I think I see the pattern. This one sounds like real trouble. You're going to need plenty of legal advice before this thing is over, and my first advice is that you should rent a very fast car with no top and get the hell out of L.A. for at least 48 hours. This blows my weekend because naturally I'll have to go with you, and we'll have to arm ourselves.
Why not? If a thing like this is worth doing at all, it's worth doing right. We'll need some decent equipment and plenty of cash on the line. If only for a permanent record.
What kind of story is this?
The Mint 400. It's the richest off-the-road race for motorcycles and dune buggies in the history of organized sport.
The sporting editors gave me $300 in cash, most of which was spent on extremely dangerous drugs. The trunk of the car looked like a mobile narcotics lab. We had 2 bags of grass, 75 pellets of mescaline, 5 sheets of high-powered blotter acid, a salt shaker half full of cocaine, and a whole galaxy of uppers, downers, screamers, laughers.
A quart of rum. A case of Budweiser. A
pint of raw ether.
2 dozen Amels.
Not that we needed all that for the trip, but once you get locked into a serious drug collection, the tendency is to push it as far as you can. The only thing that worried me was the ether. There is nothing in the world more helpless and irresponsible and depraved than a man in the depths of an ether being.
Yes! It's time for a long snort of ether!
And then do the next 100 miles in a horrible, slobbering sort of spastic stupor. The only way to keep alert on ether is to do up a lot of angles. Not only once, but steadily.
Just enough to maintain focus at 90 through Barstow. Man, this is the way to travel. Turn up the volume. One toke, you poor fool. Wait till you see those goddamn bats.
Sympathy for the Devil was the only tape we had, so we played it over and over as a kind of demented counterpoint to the radio.
Hey, there's a hitchhiker. Let's give this boy a lift.
Are you crazy with all the drugs we got in this car? That kid might be a narc.
Before I could mount any argument, he stopped, and this poor Okie kid was running up to the car with a big grin on his face.
Hot damn! I never rode in a convertible before.
Is that right? Well, I guess you're about ready, huh?
We're your friends. We're not like the others.
Oh, Christ, he's gone around the bend. No more of that talk, or I'll put the leeches on you.
How long did we maintain? How long before one of us starts raving and jabbering at this boy? What will he think then? This same lonely desert was the last known home of the Manson family. Will he make that same grim connection when my attorney starts screaming about bats and huge manta rays coming down on the car? If so...
Well, we'll just have to cut his head off and bury him somewhere. He'll report us at once to some kind of outback Nazi law enforcement agency, and they'll run us down like dogs.
Jesus, did I say that? Or just thinking it? Was I talking?
Did they hear me?
Can you hear me?
Uh-huh.
That's good, because I want you to know that we're on our way to Las Vegas to find the American dream. I want you to have all the background, because this is a very ominous assignment with overtones of extreme personal danger. Hell, I forgot about the beer. You want one?
Ah!
How about some ether?
What?
Never mind. I want you to understand that this man at the wheel here is my attorney. He's not just some dingbat I found on the strip. Shit, look at him. He doesn't look like you or me, right? That's because he's a foreigner. I think he's probably Samoan. Doesn't matter, does it? Are you prejudiced?
Hell no!
I didn't think so. Because in spite of his race, this man is extremely valuable to me. This is important, goddammit. This is a true story.
Hey, keep your hands off my fucking neck!
Our vibrations were getting nasty, but why? I was puzzled, frustrated. Was there no communication in this car? Had we deteriorated to the level of dumb beasts? Because my story was true. I was certain of that. And it was extremely important, I felt, for the meaning of our journey to be made absolutely clear.
Jesus, just 1 hour ago, we were sitting over there in that stinking baño at the Polo Springs in Beverly Hills, stone broke and paralyzed for the weekend, when a call comes through from some total stranger in New York, telling me to go to Las Vegas and expenses be damned. Then he sent me over to some office where another total stranger gives me $300 raw cash for no reason at all. I tell you, my man, this is the American dream in action. We'd be fools not to ride this strange torpedo all the way out to the end.
Indeed! We must do it!
Getting hold of the drugs has been no problem. But the car and the tape recorder were not easy things to round up at 6:30 on a Friday afternoon in Hollywood. We went to a Polynesian bar, where my attorney made 17 calls before locating a convertible with enough horsepower and proper coloring.
Now we need a sound store with the finest equipment, nothing dinky.
The store was closed by the time we got there.
There were people inside, but they refused to come to the double glass door until we gave it a few belts and made ourselves clear.
Finally, two salesmen brandishing tire irons opened the door just wide enough to shove the equipment out before slamming it and locking it again.
Now take these goddamn things and get the fuck out of here! And don't come back!
Oh, we'll be back! One of these days I'll toss a fucking bomb into this place! I have your name on the sales slip! I'll find out where you live and I'll burn your house down!
That'll give him something to think about. That guy is a paranoid psychotic anyway. They're easy to spot.
We had trouble again at the car rental agency. After signing all the papers I got in the car, I almost lost control of it while backing across the lot to the gas pumps.
You're going to be careful with this car, aren't you?
Of course.
Well, good God, you just backed over that 2-foot concrete abutment and you didn't even slow down. 45 in reverse and you barely missed the pump.
No harm done. I always test the transmission that way. The rear end, for stress factors.
You fellas been drinking?
Not me.
Just fill the goddamn tank. We're in a hell of a hurry. We're on our way to Las Vegas for a desert race.
What?
Never mind. We're responsible people. He's a lawyer. I'm a journalist.
There's another worry. He's probably all cranked up on speed.
Yeah, you should give him some Reds. For Christ's sake, don't smoke that pipe at stoplights. Keep in mind that we're exposed.
You know, we need a big hookup. Keep it down here in the seat, out of sight. If anybody sees us, they'll think we're using oxygen.
Our trip was a classic affirmation of everything right and true and decent in the national character. It was a gross physical tribute to the fantastic possibilities of life in this country, but only for those with true grit. And we were chock full of